This week's podcast is definitely interesting. 1,200 calorie diet. Why? Where did it come from? And why does everyone think that's the magic number?
I'm looking forward to chewing on this one, Greg. So let's jump in and get started.
And for people who don't know, that's Harriet Walker, dietitian.
Welcome to the Body Science Podcast, bringing you everything you need, want, and should know about health, fitness, nutrition, and training. As always, the information contained in this podcast is for the information purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or be prescriptive to treat, prevent, or manage any injury, disease, or other health-related condition. Today's podcast is brought to you by Green Tea TX 100, a delicious, low-calorie blend of green tea extract, gut-friendly probiotics, and powerful antioxidants. Packed full of energy, Green Tea TX 100 helps boost your metabolism, promote good bacteria, enhance energy levels, and stimulate fat burning through its natural thermogenic effect. Naturally sweetened and with no added sugar, Green Tea TX 100 is your answer to a great-tasting, satisfying energy boost. Available in delicious super berry flavour and on sale at Good Price Pharmacy stores across Australia for the month of September.
Welcome to Body Science HQ, Harriet.
G'day, Greg. Thanks for having me back once again. Don't know why you still keep asking me.
Sitting
but here
in the
we
chair
are.
In the podcast of Fit, Happy and Healthy. Today we're going to talk about a topic that actually came through customer service, I believe. It was 1,200 calories. Should this be my diet? I'm trying to lose weight.
Whoa, Greg.
I won't go into names, but the person was female. The person had a PT, and that was the question they asked us, along with a whole lot of other stuff. But the big question was, and I thought, you know what, where did the 1,200 calorie diet actually come from? And I want to have a chat with you about that.
This is an absolute classic.
It is a classic, isn't it?
Absolute classic. So not a week goes by that I do not get somebody asking me, is that enough? I don't actually know where this 1,200 calorie number came from. I think somebody pulled it out and it's not below 1,000, but it's not above 2,000, 1,200. Oh, that sounds about right. Because for all I know, a lot of popular diet plans of recent years.
1,200 is a big number when you start searching. Because I went and had a look and I think I know where it came from.
Well, we won't dig into that bit, but what we can dig into is it appropriate for people to be subsisting off 1,200 calories? And I'm going to say unless you're 4'8" and 45 kilos, probably not, Greg. It's not enough food. And the reason why that's going to end in issues is because for most people, they're eating below their basal metabolic rate.
Okay, so let's hit it. What does basal metabolic rate mean?
So before you get out of bed, lying in the dark room, not doing anything before your waking hours, there is a minimum amount of calories required or kilojoules required to maintain life.
Mm-hmm.
So that is to breathe, to run your organs, to do anything physiologically before you stand up. That's our basal metabolic rate. It's our minimum buy-in for life,
okay,
essentially. So our body can adapt to energy intakes that are below that, but what we have to acknowledge is if we are asking our body to run on less than what its minimum requirements are, something's got to give.
So if someone's, let's talk about mass population. If someone's doing some type of functional training, circuit work, which is very popular at the moment, and probably going 4 to 5 times a week and eating 1,200 calories, what's going to happen?
So we need to look at our buckets where we can expend energy from. So basal metabolic rate is one of the buckets that we've spoken about before.
And then what did you set that at? That was a...
Look, it could be for women, it's going to be ballpark, somewhere in the vicinity of 13 to 16, 17 for a very muscular athletic person.
Okay.
For men, it might start at somewhere in the vicinity of 1,600 calories per day and go up to sort of 2,200, 300 for a very athletic, muscly person.
Yeah, okay.
So the basal will be dictated by height, weight, muscle mass, that kind of gig. So beyond that, we have energy expenditure from digesting our food. Mm-hmm. That's the thermic effect of food. And then we have energy expenditure that comes from exercise, so planned exercise, and energy expenditure that comes from daily activities that are not planned. So like walking to the car costs energy, brushing my hair costs energy, me sitting up straight costs energy.
So, okay, well, you haven't convinced me yet. 1,200 calories is looking good. I'm going to lose a heap of weight.
You are going to lose a heap of weight doing it. But let's look at what some of the downsides you could probably expect. So first thing I would expect you to feel is pretty rotten because you're not consuming enough energy, your will to move.
Is that all day? Is that when I get up or is that any time of the day?
Look, across the board, on average, you're going to be feeling pretty crappy.
You're not going to be the best person.
You're not going to be living your best life on 1,200 calories. Yep. Again, unless you're that size where that's appropriate intake or that you're really reduced your energy output, very few people are going to be feeling great on that.
Now, we're talking about the person who's hitting a functional section every day.
Absolutely. That functional person is going to be losing weight. They're going to be burning fat, I'll tell you that much for free. They are going to be tapping into their fat stores for sure because they need to find ways to bridge that gap between what they are consuming from food and what their body requires. So fat mass is a stored energy source. So they can burn fat in order to be able to function. What we also see, though, is because we need a certain amount of protein to run the functions in our body. So hormones require protein, hair, skin, nail regeneration, muscle regeneration. They all require protein. That's beyond just calories. Mm-hmm. We need a certain amount of calories, but we also need a certain amount of protein per day.
I'm probably eating a fair chunk of my 1,200 calories in protein though. If I've been put on this diet by somebody.
Potentially, yeah. So look, that's going to be preserving your lean muscle mass to an extent. So if you are training and you are consuming adequate protein and you're in a calorie deficit, you may be saving a little bit of your muscle mass. We might not be requiring to break it down in order to use that protein. However, we're probably also running into nutrient deficiencies, which you might not feel initially, but definitely from a long-term health perspective.
And what's long-term? 3 months? What are you talking like? If I'm on this diet for 3 months.
How long does it take for a deficiency to become a clinical deficiency?
Yeah.
That can be months. It can be years. Okay. So it depends on the specific nutrient. Some nutrients we require daily. So our water-soluble vitamins, we need those on the regular. Fat-soluble vitamins we can store in our body fat.
Yep.
But once again, if we're burning that fat, we've reduced our body's ability to store those nutrients. So we're looking at months, potentially years before we get a clinical deficiency, but we are also not feeling great in the short term as well because energy production suffers when we're not having our micronutrients because micronutrients are involved in producing the energy that our body requires.
Okay, so let's just say I'm on 12 and I'm going to be the bad guy here for a while, okay? I'm on a 1200 calorie diet. I'm training 4 to 4 times a week. I've been told to take a multivitamin, so I'm getting some nutrients. So in that first 3 months, I can probably suck it and see it type thing and, you know, feel a bit tired. You said I feel a bit tired, maybe a little bit moody and grumpy. Mm-hmm. So what? I've dropped 5 kilos, 10 kilos. I'm feeling good about myself there. What I want to dig deep on is why this is a stupid idea.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's probably something I shouldn't say on a podcast, but.
Well, with a decreased energy intake.
Because so far I'm a little bit moody, but I'm looking good. Let's just remember that, okay? My pictures are coming up gold.
You're looking shredded.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things that could be happening that we need to look at as well. Mm-hmm. So hormonally, we know that when we're decreasing our energy intake, that certain hormones adapt to that lower energy intake. So we are driven to eat more food. So you might actually be experiencing some binge eating behavior when we're consuming low calories.
We're not really 1200 calories. We're 1200 calories on a day we control ourselves and then we
potentially
have a little off the park binge.
This is a picture. And the difference between eating those calories in meals spread across the day evenly compared to eating 1200 restrict, and then binging is we are developing a pretty.
Are you talking like fasting there? Or are you talking like days?
Days,
sorry. Okay.
So we restrict. And then what we're probably going to risk is running into a poor relationship with food. When we're not eating what we need for health and for body functions and for enjoyment, when we restrict, we're driven to eat. Our body actually is upregulating we're increasing the amounts of hormones that are associated with eating that are driving us to eat. And we may very well be falling into a binge and restrict pattern where we're under eating and then all of a sudden we snap and we overeat extensively, like I'm talking thousands of calories in one sitting. And then there's an associated down shame, guilt cycle. So that's a pretty common one for some people.
How's my mental function going to be on 1200 calories a day?
Well, that's a really good question, because we require glucose for our brain to run. Yes, we can run on ketones, but if, you know, we're asking our body to run wholly, it doesn't matter whether the energy is coming from ketones, whether it's coming from glucose, we don't have much of it getting around, total energy. So our brain function is going to be impaired for sure. We're not going to be able to be thinking properly.
Who gets priority? Like, which part of the body gets priority on a low calorie diet?
Our organs are going to get, so brain okay. gets, brain and heart organ function is going to get the priority. Very commonly with females, we know that their menstrual cycle gets impacted from low calorie diets, because our body cannot sustain a life
yep.
on that low calorie. So our body will shut down the ability to, you know, fall pregnant, because it's not required. It's nice to have, but it's not necessary. For men, you know, we might see hormonal downturns as well. We might see that they've reduced their testosterone. For males and females, we see, you know, their sex drive will go down because of the hormones associated with that. We see that people are less able to put in the effort in the gym, because they're running on empty. Mm-hmm. So there's people can very commonly, they'll buffer themselves for the first 12-6 months on this sort of stuff, but we definitely see impaired body composition. So we see loss of muscle mass, we see loss of fat mass, we see low mood, low testosterone, low hormone profile, apathy, just not feeling good about yeah. life. And then psychosocially, so behaviorally, we see these people are, you know, withdrawing from social situations,
okay.
getting a little bit anxious about eating in social scenarios yeah. because they might have labeled certain foods as good, bad, toxic. So there's a physiological aspect to consuming low calories, but there is a very big sort of psychosocial aspect to it, whereby people are forming poor eating behaviors and they're withdrawing socially as well. So I think on the whole, it is really important to acknowledge that whilst, you know, losing fat seems to be, you know, on everybody's wish list, we have to look at what are the downsides of such heavily restricted diets. And it's not just, it's not educating the person on the healthy habits. A lot of the time people, when we look at what the standard Australian diet looks like, it's not that fab. There's plenty of room for us to make improvements before we do a 1200 calorie diet. There's a lot of low hanging fruit, which we've spoken about, that can be changed in order to get those long-term, you know, positive benefits in body composition, fat loss, without having to resort to halving your calorie intake in a generic fashion. And that's the problem here, is a lot of these diets are so generic. They are the same 1200 calorie piece of paper that's been handed around, maybe not the same exactly, but the concept is there. Whether it is a female who is 5'5" and does CrossFit 6 times a week, she might be on 1200 calories, and then her wow. girlfriend who is 5'9" and does yoga might also be on 1200 calories, neither of those people would benefit, because there's just not enough to meet their basal needs, let alone the needs for optimal life performance, yeah. whatever.
Okay, so how do I calculate how many calories I need to eat? Like, if it's not 1200, how do I calculate it?
Well, this is a really funny question. It's like, I don't know how much I should eat. There's like heaps of ways you can figure this out. There's like a few equations you can use. Schofield equation, Harris-Benedict equation are two that come to mind. There are calculators online that you could, if you Google metabolic calculator, Schofield equation, or Harris-Benedict for more athletic population, you'll get a
ball. Sorry, can you slow that down? Schofield mass pops.
And then the Harris-Benedict
is for athletic.
It's more for athletic equation.
Okay, yep.
We can look those up and you can get a ballpark figure. It's not going to be exact. The other way to do it, which is probably a little bit more tailored, is tracking your energy intake for a week and just making sure if your weight's stable at that calorie intake, that's probably your base, that's probably your minimum requirements. So with those equations, it takes into account your basal, so your minimum requirement, and then they'll times it by an activity factor. So that's how we account for energy expenditure. If I'm an office worker, my basal metabolic rate is, say, 1300 calories, and all I do each day is walk to my car, sit in my car, sit at my desk, walk back to my car, sit on the couch. My activity factor might be 1.1. I'm only needing slightly more.
Sedentary.
I'm very sedentary.
Yeah.
Absolutely. However, if my basal metabolic rate is 1300 calories, but I run ultra marathons, I'm going to be timesing that by an activity factor of like 2.2, you know, a lot higher.
Yep.
So that's how we account for energy output, is with our activity factor. We take our basal and then we put on what we do each day as a rough estimate.
So, and that's how all these fitness watches are working?
Yeah, they're going to be taking height, into account age, weight and all that kind of stuff. So they will have used one of these equations to figure this out. And then it's a matter of, you know, tailoring it accordingly. So have a go at consuming ballpark. If you're putting on weight, cut off 300-500 calories. If you're losing weight too quickly, put some more back in, you know. So it's not rocket science. I think we've sort of overthought this a little bit too much. And the fact is that most people are over, you know, very commonly people who are trying to lose weight are going the very drastic option first before they've taken a look at some of the easy, simple things like reducing alcohol intake, reducing, you know, the sort of sugary, sweet, fried foods that they might consume on a regular basis. It's very easy to be drastic. Short term, it is a lot more beneficial to take a moderate approach and do something that's more sustainable. And just starting out with the numbers, or get a qualified, you know, dietitian to be helping you to figure this out, because it's not rocket science. But you just need some objectivity to it. And if it's, you know, if it's a cookie cutter approach for everybody, I would be second guessing its appropriateness.
Okay. So far, 1200 calorie diet. The why is long term, not good.
Long term, unless you're that size and it's appropriate.
And what was it? 4'8", 47 kilograms.
I'd have to figure it out, but it'd be somewhere in the vicinity of being less than 5 foot and just under 50 kilos.
So if I'm looking for some rapid weight loss, like I do have a purpose, I want to lose weight in 14 days or something, how toxic on my lifestyle is 1200 calorie diet for a couple of days?
A couple of days. It would be fine.
Yeah.
It would be fine. I'm not recommending it, but you're not going to die doing it. And do you expect those results to stick once you stop doing that?
You're probably going to bounce out dramatically at that event when you get
But there might be a time if I've got somebody who needs to cut weight really quickly and they've come to me last minute and it's like, okay, well, here we go. But, you know, in 2 days, it's not going to do you any damage, unless, you know, it is doing damage to your relationship with food, in which case I'm saying it's doing a lot of damage. So the why behind it is also super important.
You often hear, and I don't know whether it's a myth or not, you often hear, oh, wow, 1200 calories is going to be really bad for your metabolism. Is that true or false?
It could be. It could be. We know that there's an adaptation to low calorie intake. We, you know, again, we're reducing the hormonally, we're increasing our drive to eat, we're reducing our satiety factor, we might be impairing our lean muscle mass, you know, we might be instigating a binge restrict cycle in there as well. So,
and that's a danger point, isn't it?
Yeah, we see this adaptation to a reduced calorie intake, especially for females. Again, we see that, you know, changes into their cycle as well. So for those reasons, yeah, it could be impairing your physiology, your body's function greatly. Is it going to do that in 2 weeks? Probably not. Is it smart to try something that you're only going to do for 2 weeks as opposed to actually investing some time into a sustainable plan? That's my question. Yeah, you know, are you wasting time messing around with these short-term fixes when you could have 6 months ago started figuring out what your plan of attack is in a sustainable fashion and started doing that?
Yeah, I just might be going to races in 2 weeks, Harriet, and I hadn't planned out I was going there in 2 weeks. That's also, I just wanted to throw out the 1200 calorie diet, see where we're at.
Greg,
I'm definitely going to put it back on at the races so everyone knows.
Full transparency there. Well, what you do in your own time, Greg, is not my problem.
Look, that would also be a strategy with a lot of these people who have started intermittent fasting too. You know, like you're hitting your 8 hour window if you're doing the 16:8, and
if you're not calculating what your basal metabolic rate is and knowing what your maintenance level calories is, and you undertake fasting, it's not magic. You've just reduced your calorie intake.
Yeah.
So you can still put your health in a, you know, people are like, oh, well, fasting is really good for your health.
Yeah.
If you're accidentally or on purpose reducing your calorie intake well below what your requirements are, doesn't matter how you do it, you're still doing it and you're still going to have the implications of low energy availability.
So for those people that we haven't really convinced about the 1200 calorie diet, what's my hair going to be like in 8 months if I start on 1200 calories? And I've got long hair down my back.
Long, luscious locks.
Yeah.
It's it's a possibility, like one of the side effects of stress and with a rapid weight loss is telogen effigens, which is loss of hair. So that's quite common. I think I was speaking with a doctor and it's really common for people to come into their office with hair loss, which is funny. But
it's common in my house.
that's genetic, Greg. Unfortunately, can't do anything about that. But, you know, increasing your protein intake and increasing your calories to a more sustainable manner, you know, it can be an approach, but that would be something I would be discussing with my healthcare practitioner.
And if, say, someone is on a 1,200 calorie diet and, you know, they're getting through it each day and they don't realize that it's not the best person they could be, are there telltales like fingernails? Is there anything we can look at that might give us some indication that it's not being the best we can be?
Potentially, yeah. So we do know, you know, there are some physical signs of, you know, poor nutrient intake, poor energy intake. So hair, skin, nails are, you know, all protein-based tissues in our body. They can be impaired. That's happening over a longer period of time, though. So I don't think that's necessarily clinically going to be showing up short term. It might be something that's more associated with long-term insufficient energy intake. So there are some clinical signs that are associated with it. Are we seeing that in the sort of population around here? Not looking for it straight away. It definitely would, for me, the first things I'm seeing with people is lethargy, you know, low mood as a result of trying to do too much on not enough energy, impaired lean muscle mass, so loss of muscle mass in an athletic population when they should be fit, healthy and muscular. They're looking a little bit flat and a little, an injury. Immune function is low as well. That's another one we didn't touch on, but immune function can be severely impaired from low energy intake as well. So, you know, getting sick frequently, low mood, low energy, lean muscle mass loss, all sort of big red flags that, you know, they're not living their best life.
Well, if anyone wants to get their 1,200 calorie diet assessed by Harriet, Harriet, what is your website?
So people can contact you. Athleticeating.com.
Get on board, see a dietitian, and just check out what you maybe can be doing for yourself. Live happy.
Thanks for having me, Greg. Look forward to the next one.
Game on.
Today's podcast was brought to you by our partners in Fit, Happy and Healthy, ASN, Nutrition Warehouse, DY Discount Vitamins, Fat Burners Only, Evelyn Fay, Mr. Supplement, or find a retailer online at bodyscience.com.au/retailers.